Welcome this week's Foch's Corner. You know, we did a regular podcast with Phony earlier this week, but today's Foch's Corner. Phony Bennett here on my right, and we've got Fresh on a break. Mark Jerome is busy. Couple of sponsors today. We're excited. The first one, you've heard this name before, True Blue Pools, the pool doctor in Lexington, Kentucky. Again, sponsoring our first special guest, Reese Beekman. And we also have Connor Murray of Sotheby's. If you need a realtor in Charlottesville or Virginia, he's your guy. He's our guy. He's helped many of us find properties, Airbnbs, whatever it may be. He's our guy. Connor Murray, I'll link all of that information below. And today he's sponsoring Chase Coleman on the podcast. Appreciate you guys jumping on.
What's up, man?
No, thank you.
I mean, we usually start with how you guys got into basketball. So why don't we start there? We'll start with you, Chase. How when did basketball enter your life?
Since I was a baby, my dad was, or he still is, a coach for now a D2 JUCO, but it used to be a D3 school out of Newport News. And ever since I was a child, he always had a ball in my hand. He never really forced me to play, but it's always been in my hands, and it was just up to me on how serious I should take it.
Just like a part of your life.
That's pretty cool.
How about you, Reese? When did basketball start for you?
Kind of like Chase as a child. Just my brother played basketball, so just being in the gym, seeing him just play, I learned a lot from him. So that's kind of where it started.
Sweet. So let's talk about when Virginia kind of came into the picture for both of you. We'll just start with Chase and then go Reese. Chase, when did UVA come into the picture in terms of your recruiting and college story?
It's kind of crazy because I'm a preferred walk-on. So my contact with Virginia was very late in my recruiting process. I think I didn't really contact them until April of my senior year, which was after the high school season and all that. There was no more AAU or whatever. So it was quick. I mean, I talked to Coach Williford, and then eventually talked to Coach Bennett, and it probably happened within like the next 2 or 3 weeks.
How quickly did you realize Virginia was the place that you wanted to be? Because I know you had offers to play at different places. What made Virginia different for you?
Parts of it being that I want to be a coach when I'm in my future career aspirations. I want to be a coach, and I just knew it was learning there from Tony Bennett. It would be a great thing. And his coaching staff as well. Also, it being close to home, I could always go back and my parents could always come see me whenever. And another part is my mom's alma mater too. She graduated in 96, so it was kind of like we could build this culture through this family at UVA. So
nice. So did you follow UVA as a kid growing up?
Not as much. My mom was always a fan of Tony Bennett, and I was always a fan of like their style of play. Or not the biggest, but I've always been a fan of their style of play because it was their own. I think my brother's been recruited here out of his eighth grade year. So I've always been watching them since I was pretty much in middle school. So yeah.
Yeah, how was that following your brother's footsteps in terms of the recruiting process? You went what he went through and then going through it yourself. Was it similar, different?
It was a lot. I mean, it was similar, but it was also different as well because he was a top 30 player out of his class. So he was going to all the camps, meeting a whole lot of people, had a lot of publicity and stuff like that. So it was just trying to build a name for myself starting off. And then after that, it was just pretty much like pretty much being me and never letting anyone doubt me and always betting on myself.
I remember when you committed, you said something about taking an alternate path or something. I don't remember the exact wording, but doing things a little bit differently. So what did you mean by that?
It was just, it's not, I would say it's not normal for people out of my area in the 757 to really, I wouldn't say go to school for basketball, but choose a route where they're going to be like, all right, I'll sacrifice maybe not playing and finding other ways to be successful rather than going in knowing that I'm going to be the head honcho and stuff like that.
Right. Because a lot of guys, and you would have had that option to be that guy, you know, be that guy who's the starter at some of the other schools, right?
Yes. So I just felt like that was me taking my alternate route, seeing my path a little bit differently, knowing that basketball is going to stop eventually one day.
Yeah.
And
I love that. And when you've got a chance to be a trailblazer in the Tony Bennett coaching tree, then.
Yeah.
Right. So, you're going to be carrying a lot of responsibility there.
I was going to ask Reese for Chase. When did you meet Chase, and did you talk to him on your recruiting visit? Did you talk to him at all during that process?
I think I met Chase when I first got to school.
Okay.
I don't think we clicked up on my visit. I think my visit, I was like, I came in from like my brother had a football game, I think. And I got in super early and I was tired and stuff. So we really didn't get a chance to like hang out and stuff. But
yeah. So when talk about your recruiting journey, Reese, when did UVA come into the picture for you?
I think it started my sophomore year, like the end of the summer, like the last event. I think Coach O saw me play down in Orlando. And then just they kept in contact until the next, I think it was the spring session. And then Coach Bennett saw me playing. That's when they offered. And then it was just ever since then, I just felt like it was the right place. I had like other options that, I mean, I had good options too, but it just didn't, you know, feel the same as Virginia. So I know it took a while. Me and my family, we had, we just came down to like, what was the best fit for you, the play style, like just, it took a minute, but you know, I feel like at the end I made the right decision.
Yeah, what were your thoughts of Virginia prior to you hearing from them? What were your thoughts about Virginia basketball? You can be real. You say it was trash, boring, whatever. It's
cool. Nah, it wasn't. I just, what I noticed from them was the winning. You know, that's what I'm big on. So that was something I noticed from them. I know they slowed it down and, you know, they ran their stuff. They got the shot that they wanted. And just, the, you know, the pack line defense, that was the, probably the biggest thing that stuck out to me.
Virginia was on you pretty early in your recruitment, weren't they?
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
I said Virginia was on you pretty early in your recruitment.
Yeah, they were.
Weren't they? Yeah. You know, so what is that like when you've got new schools that are just noticing you later? Do you feel a little like, are you like, you know, why didn't you see me a year ago?
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, that's kind of how like I gave my props to Virginia. Like, you know, they got on me early. They stuck with me. They, you know, they recruited me hard. So I still looked at the other schools like, you know, I always have my options open and, you know, consider everything. But in my head, I kind of knew where, you know, I wanted to go and who I felt was like the best choice for me.
And then when you got to UVA, and this, we'll start with you this time, Reese, what was it like? What was the transition like for you? Like coming in, was there a little bit of an adjustment, or was it right out of the gate you felt comfortable?
Nah, it was definitely hard at first. You know, the first couple weeks, it was, you know, getting used to the weight room and stuff. Then just on the court, just getting used to the speed of the game, having a guard, you know, here we have to, you know, play really good defense. So just getting used to that, it took a while, but as the year went on, you know, I learned a lot from, you know, Kihei and Casey. So they helped me a lot. So at the end, they helped me.
So we had your AAU coach on, I think it was right before the Gonzaga game. He talked about you and Jalen. Did you talk to Jalen Suggs during the season in terms of like what the adjustment was like for him?
We ain't talked much, you know. He was doing his thing, you know, all season. So we ain't talked that much, but I know he's gonna do big things wherever he ends up.
So how often did you communicate with other people once you got to UVA in terms of comparing and contrasting styles and practices, all of that? Did you do any of that, or was that?
Not much. I mean, some of my homeboys back home kind of had this, you know, same problems. We went to the same high school, so we just had to get used to the weight room. That was probably our biggest thing.
Mike Curtis, no joke.
Yeah,
Mike Curtis. What about you, Chase? Did you take notes with your brother in terms of like, hey, what did you guys do versus Virginia? And you know, like, was there some note taking there for you?
Of course, it was always questions that had to be asked to compare if your school was the way they taught was different or better or just different from any other school. So of course I asked questions with my brother. And then a lot of the Division I guys that came out of the area that I knew, they would ask me about like the conditioning, strength training, like what we're doing throughout the week, what the diet plan is like, how's practice, are practices super duper long or they're just, you know what I mean, we getting it in, getting out, and then let's go home. So it was a lot of questions asked though.
It's such an extreme contrast of styles between Virginia and your brother's school. Is that something you guys talk smack about playing fast or playing slow or playing sloppy or anything like that?
A little bit. The thing is, it's kind of like as time has been going on, Virginia has been playing a little bit faster by the year, which is kind of funny. So it's still like we play our slow ball, we run our offense, and we're going to run it all the way through and through. And then we're going to go back and defend for 30 seconds for sure. But we'd always talk about it. We wanted to see, I know my mom did for sure in the tournament for us to be playing right against each other. But, you know, it didn't happen. So it's so whatever.
Who would mom have been cheering for?
That's when you find out who's mom's favorite.
I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it would have been a good one, though.
Let's go through last year a little bit. How, like, COVID off season, I mean, Reese, you don't know nothing but COVID basically. Chase, how was it for you, Chase, like the adjustment for all of that, and like how much coaching did you do? I know Corey talked about it on the broadcast, like coaching on the sidelines and player coaching. Like, how different was it with COVID? Like, did you feel like you needed to be way more involved?
Of course, it was, because it was kind of like there was no more, like, of course, you never want outside listeners or you never want anybody to come in and try to destroy or home wreck your home, your home and your group. But there was no, like, it was just us. So it was kind of like we only got each other. It's only us that can make each other better and make ourselves better. So I just felt like me not playing and having the experience that I had my first year from playing a few games, I could always help.
Yeah, how has that been for you? Because like you play some solid minutes, and me and Fresh always joke about the off the backboard. Oh, God, if you had converted that, you'd have been jerseying the Raptors. But talk about your playing time, like fluctuating. Is that a thing that you need to adjust to? Is that a thing you kind of come with expectations, or how do you deal with that?
So I put it like this, like when I came in, I felt like there was a chance that I'd be able to play. I just wasn't never sure. I just always knew that I would have to always be ready. And so that's what I did. And then I had my opportunities for sure. But I knew we had a Dondada named Reese Beekman coming in that next year. So it was kind of like my role was probably going to change, and I just had to find another way to help the team. And I felt like, you know, being on the sideline, seeing it from a different angle, especially since I was on the baseline for majority of the year, that I see it at a different angle than the rest of the coaches. And I felt like since coach let me voice my opinion, I always had a chance to, you know, be outspoken at times.
They show you on TV, man, you got that coaching stance down. they got that nailed already. So
yeah, we call that the Asian squat in my house, but so Reese, what about that for you? What kind of adjustment have you seen from Che? Like, is he jumping in and help giving you pointers during games? Do you notice that, or is it?
Yeah, all the time. I always hear his voice. He sees things that sometimes I don't see, and sometimes we see the same stuff. So it's good just having that extra, like, you know, just that extra voice in your head just helping you out in the game. Cause, you know, sometimes things moving fast, you might not see something, and, you know, he helps you out. That's just makes things much easier. So he always was a help, and always just you know, I always would go to him if he's seen something or if I noticed something, just to get his opinion. So
right.
He helped a lot.
What about playing with Kihei? But I guess this is both of you guys. How has that been? He's got all the experience that first year, like hard to beat what he went through his first year. Do you guys rely on you know, getting some of that knowledge from him, or do you just play it by ear?
Yeah, I learned a lot from him. You know, just he's just like Chase. He sees things that sometimes I don't see. So just learning the game, and you know, his experience does help. He's battle tested. He's been through the tough game. So just using him as like a leader to like, you know, fall on is very helpful.
So how would you assess your first year? Like, you had some ups, like some downs. Like,
yeah.
How did you, now that you're looking back on year one, how do you assess yourself?
I feel like I had a solid year. You know, it's always room to improve, but just coming in, I didn't know what my role was going to be. So just stepping in where I needed to be, I felt like I did a, you know, pretty solid job. And just, you know, next year is going to be a different year. So just new challenges, new opportunities. So I just got to make sure it's best.
What kind of changes to your game are you looking to make this season, if any?
I know shooting was the main focus for me over the summer, just getting lots of reps in, just sticking with the fundamentals of the shot. And then just, you know, reading the offense and just making decisions on defense. You know, sometimes I would get, you know, kind of gambling and get out of my, like, you know, stance and stuff. So just making sure I'm always aware on defense, and just offense is making the right play and just making the team better. So all those things are what I mainly, but shooting was what I mainly worked on this summer.
Phony, we usually talk to Phony about what is the pulse of the fan base. What do you think it is for Reese? Like, where do people stand on Reese?
I mean, I think, yeah, that the big thing people talk about is the shooting. You know, when are we going to see that? And, you know, I think, you know, a lot of the fans, at least the ones I correspond with, are familiar with what you did in high school. And so they know that game is there. And mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, a matter of, you know, when we're going to see that emerge. And I don't know, you know, last season, I don't think you were shooting very high volume at all. I don't know what your usage was, but, you know, it wasn't necessarily, you know, hunting your shot as some other guy might say.
Let's ask Coach Coleman here. What does Reese need to work on this season? What are we going to see from Reese this season, you think?
A Reese with a whole lot more confidence and a lot more experience. So he's going to play a lot sharper, in my opinion. He's been battle tested. He's had games where he didn't play his best. He had games where he played really well, where he was killing it on all cylinders. So I just feel like this year is just him being more confident himself and then pouring confidence into others. And then we'll go from there.
I mean, I would guess, and I obviously have no clue, but playing alongside Kihei, like you said, you didn't know your role and coming in, I imagine that is an adjustment in itself and coming in this year. What about this year coming in? You've had now one full season. How has this offseason felt different? Like, now you coming in, is it really that, like, confidence high? You know what's, you pretty much know what to expect at this point, right? I mean,
so, like, just based off last year, you know, I kind of know what to expect and just know what to work on. So last year I was kind of working on just what I thought I needed to improve my game, but having a season under my belt, I know the specifics and just know exactly what I need to do to better myself. So
I'm excited for you to play in a JPJ that's sold out.
I know.
I mean,
that's the biggest thing.
That's a huge experience to miss out on.
I know. We were talking to Trey. Trey was on last week. We're like, you never even got to see it. Like, he didn't even get one season. He didn't even get to see a full JPJ, which is kind of a bummer.
Yeah, that's weird. I mean, the entire university experience just has to be different than it would in a normal year. And Chase, you still haven't had a season that didn't end somehow because of COVID.
Yeah. It's exciting. What are expectations this season for you and this team, you think, for you, Chase? What are your thoughts? Like, are you guys thinking you're under the radar? Are you thinking you're going to be targeting your back? Like, what's the feel?
I feel like us being UVA, we always going to have a target on our back just because we're that hard-nosed school that always defend have been culturally good at basketball. So I feel like we're going to always have a target on our back. But I also feel like we're underrated just because we lost a lot of guys last year. Like, we lost 3 starters, yeah, potentially 4 starters. So I'm guessing they probably think that, I mean, our work and our core group is gone, so somebody else is going to have to step up. But I feel like we're going to be fine this year, for sure.
How do you guys take it personally when you hear, oh, we're losing all our shooters, we're not going to be able to score? Like, Reese, do you see or hear that stuff? And do you think, oh, I'm going to show you? Or is it blinders? Or do you do the blinders thing and the coach
speak? I mean, I see it a little bit. I don't let it, you know, get to me too much, because it's always going to be somebody, you know, with their own opinion. So I don't let it get to me too much, but I do hear it. And it's just, it is motivation just for myself, and I know for the team, just to, you know, be ready and, you know, do what we have to do.
Yeah. What are your expectations coming into this season? Do you put any goals? Do you check anything off in terms of, like, all right, year 2, I need to do X, Y, or Z, or do you kind of just play by ear?
Yeah, I kind of just play it by ear. You know, we got a lot of new guys, you know, with the transfers and stuff, Armand and Jayden, and then Tane coming in. But, you know, we don't have, like Chase said, we kind of lost 3 starters and, you know, Tom coming off the bench. So that's a lot of experience that we're losing. So it's going to be like, you know, a different team. So this summer, we just going to have to work hard, get used to playing with each other, build chemistry, and just see how high we can go.
The preseason schedule came out today, and looking at it, like, Houston obviously is the big name. Otherwise, it actually seems like a good schedule for a team that's really going to be trying to find itself with a lot of new pieces.
Right.
Yeah, Fairleigh Dickinson is always tough. I mean, there's some sneaky teams on there that's like, oh, no, mid-majors that might do some damage.
Oh, yeah. James Madison and Radford, yeah. I mean, all those guys.
Yeah, Radford.
They're all liable to do something.
If we get off the court for a minute, Charlottesville now, kind of opening back up, I guess. I mean, I was there, whatever, 2 weeks ago. It's kind of opening back up. What are some spots that you guys would like to hit up? I'll start with you, Chase. Food. Let's start with food.
Mel's Cafe, for sure. It's funny. My teammate just hit me a little bit earlier talking about some, we're going to Mel's if you want to come a little bit.
Mel's Cafe. All right.
Soul food is real good. I'd highly recommend. That's pretty much the main one. It's also another one. I'm gonna let Reese say it though, because he done fell in love with this spot ever since I told him about it.
All right, let's hear. What is it, Reese?
It's called Lazy Pear. It's like a, I think it's a chicken spot, but they got other food too. It's great. Chase put me on
Lazy Pear
for that.
It's in Pantops area, kind of near the Chipotle, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
Chipotle and Taco Bell.
Yeah. Lazy Parrot. All right.
It's close to the new Wawa.
Yeah.
So then what is the typical, in terms of meals for you guys? What do you usually go out and grab stuff, or are you eating at home a lot?
Last year I cooked more than I do now, but I didn't make much. But yeah, I was trying to make some type of, like, pasta or whatever. Shrimp is easy to cook, so anything that had shrimp in it, I was probably making it. But eating out, we eat out a ton. We eat out a ton.
Charlottesville. All right. Those restaurants are going to look out for some DMs from us for some sponsorships for this. We're going to have an eat out segment with y'all, so we can get some free food out of this thing at least. Phony's a cook extraordinaire. Any recommendations for these guys
in Charlottesville? Man, there's everything changes. You know, I go down there, and what, the College Inn closed. I mean, places that have been around forever closed. Like when I was a student, there was this spot down at the downtown mall. There was a Brazilian spot, Brazil, I think. I don't know. You know, it probably didn't last. So I defer to those guys. I'm finding out, like, what the good stuff is.
All right. So one question we get all the time is that Gonzaga game that week before the Gonzaga game, talking back last season, and then the 2 games you're sitting out, and then you have Gonzaga. What was your feeling coming up into that for we'll start with you, Reese. How did you feel going into that game, having, you know, that weird COVID break, and then now you're going Houston, now you're playing Gonzaga? Like, was it a lot to deal with, or was it?
I know we knew what we were going up against. You know, they were, you know, beating everybody, just high teams as well. So, you know, it was weird. We were off for a while, but then just it was kind of, you know, it was unexpected too. They just popped up and talking about saying we were gonna play Gonzaga. So it was kind of a shock for us, but you know, we had to get prepared really quick. But it was, you know, just getting prepared coming off the COVID, it was kind of weird. But I think
how do they tell you that you're gonna play Gonzaga, by the way? How did you find out? Did you find out from social media, or were the coaches like, oh, by the way?
I think we had a Zoom. I think they told us in Texas we had a Zoom like in 10, 15 minutes. We was like, oh, it's something.
Right. So you knew something important as well.
Yeah. And then on the Zoom, they told us that we were going to play Gonzaga. So it was just a quick turnaround, you know, coming off of COVID pause to playing, you know, the hottest team in America. It was a quick turnaround.
Now, did that help prepare you for what was coming down the line with the NCAA tournament and you guys having that break? And then coming off of that again into a huge game, like it's like a reoccurring theme here last year.
Yeah.
Did it help? Did it hurt? Did it do anything?
It helped.
Any help?
Nope.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you gotta think about it, bro. Like we were the two games that got canceled was Villanova and Wake Forest. All right. So Villanova was supposed to be a big game and we were supposed to play them at home, I think. No, we were supposed to play them in New York.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to be a big game, and we weren't going to have Gonzaga. And to think to really put more to it,
Michigan State game too.
Yeah, Michigan State too. Big Ten game.
Well, but to put more to it, it was Christmas time, so we were on the road to Gonzaga on the 24th of Christmas. We spent Christmas in Texas, so emotions are really high because everybody's like, at the same time, yeah, I want to play basketball, but yeah. I don't like missing Christmas.
Right.
Yeah. So. Well, especially when you weren't expecting to miss it. Like if you know it before the season, then you're kind of prepared for that, I would assume.
Right. Yeah. And then you're playing one of the best teams in college basketball in the year. So but at the end of the day, it definitely helped because we got a tails kick. So now it's back to the drawing board. We didn't make shots that game, but still we didn't defend as well as we needed to. So it was like, in case we play another team like this or see them down the road, which we could have had the chance to, how do we defend them better?
So what is your mindset during a game like that, Chase, when we're getting down, like things aren't going our way? What is your mindset in terms of like, how can I help the team? Like, what are you thinking you can do? Is it an energy type of thing? Is it, what do you do?
I feel like it starts with energy, just because being down like that, it's kind of deflating. Especially when, I don't know if you were at the game, but it felt like an away game. Right. It was a lot of Gonzaga fans there. So every shot they hit, it was loud. So it was like, come on, we need something. We need something. We need something. We need a shot to fall. We need a stop. And it was kind of hard to get one. So I felt like energy was a thing. Like my mom always told me, you're not going to do well if you're not playing with a smile on your face because it doesn't look like you're having fun. So in that game, I just don't think we were having fun.
I was watching it and I wasn't having a lot of fun. Gonzaga was good. I mean, I actually kind of enjoyed watching them from that perspective because they executed so well. But as a fan, it kind of sucked.
That Kispert, that was a fluke, though. I mean, that man went crazy.
Like, yeah.
He went nuts. And where championship game we saw, did you guys watch the Final Four what were your thoughts? Did you see that one coming in terms of Baylor?
Yeah,
I didn't see the blowout. I really didn't know who was going to win, but I didn't see like the blowout like that. I expected it to be like a dog fight coming down to like, you know, last 2-3 minutes, but you know, Baylor came out hot like they did, like kind of like Gonzaga did versus us. And it was kind of,
I was gonna say, like, if it wasn't for us winning, I seen a Big 12 team winning it. I didn't know who it was gonna be, but I seen a Big 12 team winning it just because of the firepower they had to play against all year.
Right.
and them being so aggressive. Like Baylor was, they're three guard, they're three headed monsters of guards. Yeah, it was fun to watch. Like I seen it, I watched it a couple times just because they played against my brother.
Yeah,
and they played off each other so well. Like they weren't selfish, so it was kind of hard. And I knew going to, when they played against, I knew when they was going to play against, I knew it was over.
Yeah, they looked really good in the Final Four. That's all I know. Like, it's like, man, they put it on. And so the, walk us through. We had Trayon talking about the Ohio game prior, but Reese, being your first NCAA game, were there any nerves? Were there any jitters? Did it feel like any other game?
I don't know if that was the most fans we had that season, but it felt like it was a lot of people there. So that at first it was kind of, you know, I always get nervous before every game. It's just always what's going to happen, how you're going to do it. But just when the game started, it all just goes away. And at the end of the day, we're just playing basketball. So it was definitely nervous, a little nervous coming in. But once the game started, it all went away. But it's just a big stage of the, you know, NCAA tournament. You got one chance, anything can happen. So it was a good experience, though, I feel like.
Yeah, what do you take out of a game like that, Chase, when you're coming in, obviously shorthanded, COVID break, all of that, and you come in, like how much of that energy can you use for next season? Is that just motivation for this coming up season?
Definitely. And the fact that we lost guys is always like it's another chapter in the book. So it's kind of like, all right, we're going to turn a new page, use what happened last year as motivation to be better for this upcoming year.
So then what about right after you guys lose Ohio, you come back? Is there a grace period where you don't watch basketball? Because for me, I think Phony and I talk about it, there's like a grace period where it's like, I can't watch basketball for a little bit. Like, right. Do you guys go through that or do you jump right back in? Like, I got to get better and start watching.
I know me personally, I took a couple games off and yeah. I think I got back like the Sweet 16, like Elite Eight. So some of the games I didn't catch, but
yeah.
I didn't care for it too much. But then again, it's March Madness time and the only thing that's on TV is
it's hard not to watch some of it.
So it was kind of like hard not to watch, but I definitely didn't watch much of it like the first few days. I probably Sweet 16, Elite Eight, I got back into it, and then I didn't even watch the championship game for real, but I watched it back. I replayed it eventually over time, but I watched the Final Four games and I watched the Elite Eight games. Yeah.
Phony, what do you remember? When did you get back to watching basketball after that?
You know, this year was so weird. I was just happy to have that much basketball on TV. So this may be the first year that I didn't take any time off. You know, part of it was when the team had to drop out of the ACC tournament, like right then I'm thinking the season's over. I wasn't sure, like we're trying to do the math. We did this emergency podcast. We're like, is it possible for this team to play again? Because there was like quarantine periods and all that. So just having basketball again felt like a relief. But part of me had already been like, yeah, this isn't going right. Like, you know, for a team that's really still just finding their identity to now you can't practice for a week and stuff. So I think I was maybe a little more prepared for it than sometimes an early exit, you know, might be. And I just wanted to see some basketball. You know, I think everyone gets a free pass on what happened this season. It was just unlike anything that I've seen in my life.
How about the NBA? Do you guys, are you guys watching the finals? Are you keeping up with that?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts? Who do you guys have?
We're rallying the valley over here.
All right.
Go ahead, Milwaukee boy.
I'm a little nervous. I know. I ain't gonna lie. I'm a little nervous. I know. Game three is a big game.
Gotta get game three, right?
Gotta get. And if they, yeah. I don't know.
So really, like we know this that you're from the Wisconsin area, but everyone knows on your bio is Louisiana. So clear this up. How long were you in Wisconsin before you moved?
I lived in Wisconsin until my seventh grade, And so I did eighth grade through high school down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. So
do you still consider Wisconsin home? Is that more your home, right?
Yeah, Wisconsin is definitely home.
But so where is your family currently?
Milwaukee, most of them.
Oh, they're all mostly in Milwaukee. So when you go back home, it's to Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Interesting. So the Louisiana thing, they need to take it off your bio for real.
It's just that that's where I last was, so that's where everybody puts. But I always have to mention that I'm from Milwaukee.
Yeah, Milwaukee.
That's home.
So were you a Milwaukee Bucks fan growing up?
Yeah.
Who are some of the players that you looked up to or looked at back in the day?
I know the main one, Brandon Jennings. That was the main one. I don't remember too much. When they were losing,
Michael Redd was before Brandon Jennings, wasn't he? Yeah, Michael Redd was right before that. Interesting.
Yeah, but
so now that they're at the top, how does that feel? Because it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while. They haven't been good in a long time. So it's just seeing them just making it to the finals is a good direction. I don't think they're gonna win this one, but maybe next year or something when everybody's healthy. I don't know. Giannis still had, the great game last night, but I don't know. He's doing his best to keep them in it.
Hey, all they got to do is get one on the road, right? If they clean up at home, they just need to get one on the road. Phony, are you watching the NBA at all or no?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh. Not too much. I mean, I watched to watch UVA players, then Dre was out. Mamadi's not getting a lot of minutes. Like if Mamadi were getting more minutes, I'd probably be tuning in more right now.
Yeah.
But Reese and I don't want to stray too far from the NBA. We haven't talked about the buzzer beater versus Syracuse yet. And that's if you had to pick a single highlight from the season, like a personal highlight, would that be it? I mean, that was probably the biggest individual play. So walk us through that. Was that the plan all along there? Take us back.
That was definitely not the plan. In my head, I really forgot what happened, like what was drawn up by the time we got to the locker room. I think we were trying to screen the outside man on like the left side and have like a Trey slide down to the corner, I think, and like Sam pop over top, but somehow Kia got in the middle and saw me wide open.
Are you saying you were like option three on that play?
Yeah, I'm probably about option five. But yeah.
You said I watched the VAF thing and you said you always saw other people running up doing the runoff and that's why you did it. Did it?
Yeah.
Like what is that? Was that your instant reaction just to run?
Every time I see somebody hit a game winner, they're always just taking off running. So I just want to see the feeling.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was a moment and a half. I don't even know. Like if you take nothing away from that season, just remember that moment. And it's like, pretty cool. More than pretty cool. That was fire. And then what was it like that process going? You hit that shot right after. What was it like for you? First year, first ACC tournament game. You hit that. What happened? Did your phone blow up? Did your family
Everybody take like my home, everybody from my hometown, Baton Rouge and Milwaukee, they're like, oh my God, see you on SportsCenter. Oh my gosh. It was a lot.
So what do you do in that situation? How many are you responding to? Like what?
I send the same text to everybody. I just thank you with a heart. And I just keep saying it over and over and over.
God, that's nice.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would have taken the time to do all that.
I definitely missed a lot of people though. So I got to the important ones though.
But I think they'll understand.
You quickly learn, right? Wasn't it that night that you guys learned the just tested positive? Isn't it late that night?
Was it that night?
No, I think it was
it was that night because we had
didn't even get one night to
watch a film for
it was that night because we was like, where's Justin?
Yeah. But, and then we woke up the next morning to being on Twitter. Well, I woke up and I seen it on Twitter. I was like, dang.
And it was not supposed to be on Twitter.
It got out early? Oh, man.
It got out early.
a Woj bomb or something of the likes.
Because they were testing them multiple times to see if it was really true or not. So it got out like
right.
That's pretty much like it got out immediately.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't supposed to be like that though, for sure. Because Coach wanted to release it himself.
So how is the testing now in terms of in the off season? Are you guys still in a regular testing routine or no?
As long as you have the vaccine, you don't have to get tested. So that's good. And then it's like CDC
regulations,
guidelines, or whatever. So it's kind of like you wear your mask at your leisure, other than in the training room with Ethan. So.
So is it pretty much feeling like you're getting back to some normalcy here? Is that
definitely.
Nice. And then what I was going to ask one last question in terms of the ACC tournament. Did you guys watch the rest of that? Like you guys. Yeah. Okay. You did sit down and finish watching that. And, what were your thoughts seeing Georgia Tech win it? Like could have been us, should have been us kind of thing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That was our feeling. Phony, did you watch the rest of the ACC tournament? I don't remember.
I did. I mean, I enjoyed watching Georgia Tech this season. You know, they were, you know, Pastner's kind of a character, and the team kind of reflects that, I think. But they played some fun basketball.
And then upcoming season, Coach K retiring. Now you got Hubert Davis at UNC. How did you guys take that news? Like the Coach K thing, did you see that one come in? Was that news to you guys as well?
I felt like it was had to happen sooner or later. Like I wouldn't say he's getting on his last leg, but he's getting older, you know. It's got to stop sooner or later. So
right. What about you, Reese? I mean, at least you got to play. You'll get him half of your college career. You get to go up against him.
Yeah. It was crazy. I just didn't know they were going to, like, you know, hire the assistant, I don't know how to pronounce Shire. Is it Shire?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just didn't know he was going to, you know, be next up. I thought they were going to, like, look. But, yeah, it was definitely a shocker seeing him having his last year.
Man, it's a weird. Yeah.
Did you like seeing that part, Chase? They replaced a legendary coach with a player that he coached. They give you a little hope?
Yeah, a little bit. It's funny because I was talking to my dad about it. He thought they weren't going to give it to him. He thought they were going to go out and venture for a new coach, but that played under Duke. I thought it was still my dad still thought it was going to be under Duke, but he thought it was going to be like Coach Capel's at Pitt or something like that.
Right. Capel was the one that they had talked about for years with that. And then I guess, I don't know if Pitt changed that, if he got tired of waiting and,
Shayer makes sense. A white guy. I don't know. Chase, I was going to ask your brother's doing his NBA draft combine. How's his prospects looking? What have you heard?
He says when he texts his I Love Family group chat, it's always nothing but positive feedback that he's getting from teams. He's worked out with a plethora. He's had about 9 or 10 workouts. He didn't get invited to any combine, but he had his little pro day with his agency. He said that went well as well. So he said he's trending in the right direction. There's a good chance that he gets his name called, but you just never know. He said he feels good, though. He feels good about his situation right now.
Seems like Trey Murphy's moving up the boards. You guys talking to him about that?
Yeah, I talked to him a little bit. He was with the Clippers yesterday, I think. So he said he likes what he's doing. He said they said he had a great workout with the Clippers though.
Good.
And then on the brother topic, I don't want to bring you down on it, but Reese, losing your brother, I saw that. That was just unbelievable news. How has that motivated you? Has that inspired you at all? Like I mean, I don't even know how to say it. Like, how do you overcome, or how do you deal with that? You know, as you move on with your career, and we can edit anything out, just feel free.
No, you're good. It's, you know, it took a while. It took my whole family a while to get over that. It was just with it being unexpected, just popping up. It was just, you know, that's that pain is just that's not gonna go away ever.
Never. So,
you know, me and my mom, we just said everything we do now is gonna be for him. So
yeah,
everything I do now, I do it for him because I know that's what he'll want. And I know he's up there. He's smiling down, happy what I'm doing. He's excited. So yeah, I do everything I do. I'm most definitely doing it for him because I know that's his main goal. We both our main goal, which is just exceed what our talents, just use our abilities to get somewhere in life that we want to be. So that's what I'm gonna do.
He's got to be proud of you, man. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
We'll move on. I don't want to talk about that. That's just yeah. And then so this coming up season, what are you guys thinking in terms of NIL with all of this that happened? Was it a whirlwind? Have you guys had to deal with a lot of different things so far, like this doing this podcast, stuff like that? Is it a lot or is it different? You want to start, Reese? Has it been different?
Yeah, it's been, a lot of, just small businesses and different companies, just DM you, asking you to promote their stuff, post them trying to get their business out there. So people been like, they're trying. I can see where it's going. I know it might take some time for everybody, to get stuff sorted out. But I definitely seeing it as a good investment for players just to make some good money for themselves.
Yeah. How about you, Chase? How's the NIL transition been for you?
It's been fine. I haven't really tried to dive in harder than a lot of players I'm seeing dive in and making real big contracts and doing stuff like that. Cause I feel like everything is so lukewarm that it's never really there's not really anything set in stone where I feel like I'd be comfortable in making decisions like that. Right. Especially since I have 2-3 more years here. So I have time to pretty much try to dive in and really take a full grasp on everything.
Yeah.
Was the Tony Bennett deal your first deal?
Yeah.
I love it. That's what matters. I mean, you're on the road.
I mean, when you saw that, what was your reaction? Like, yeah, I'm doing that. Why not?
Me and Kaden was like, bro, this is lovely. We love Twitter. We love Tony Bennett. We look at the Twitter almost after every game. It's it's hilarious.
You like Twitter. No, you like Twitter.
Hey, man, leave me alone.
Twitter is great for sports. It's a cesspool for pretty much anything else, but it is great for sports news and discussion.
The only thing with Twitter that I think people get confused is we all don't have the same timeline, right? It's like everyone thinks what they're seeing is what everyone else is seeing. Like, no,
right.
We all have crafted our own, right? And like other people always confuse that. Like, oh, this thing's blown up. Like, it's blown up on your Twitter line. No one else is seeing that, right? Like, that's the weird part about Twitter, but it is amazing.
Algorithm.
Yeah, the algorithm is crazy.
But I mean, I think, the Twitter experience as a fan, of course, I'm not sure if I were an athlete, if I would enjoy that kind of unfiltered feedback, let's just say.
How do you not go on there and look at it? Like, is there a willpower to not go on? Like, how often do you not go on and look at it after a game or after whatever? Like, is there a break that you guys are like, all right, if we win or lose, is there a moment where you're like, I'm going to stay off this for a minute? Like, do you guys do that?
I usually don't get on there and just because I know people have, everybody has their opinion. So it's some going to be good, some going to be bad. So I tend to stay off.
Stay away?
What about you? I asked Malcolm Brogdon one time back when it maybe his second year, like if he was going to get on Twitter. And that's what he said, that, you got guys building you up when you don't necessarily deserve it. And you got guys tearing you down when you don't deserve it. And so he wanted to stay very far away from that.
It seems like, yeah, Chase, what are your thoughts on Twitter? What is your take on it?
My main thing is to stay out of the search bar. Just whatever happens on your timeline happens.
I like it.
Because they're not going to tell you every little thing that everybody said about you. Your name is not going to just pop up on it on your timeline like that. So I just feel like if you stay out of the search bar, don't search your name, you won't find anything good or bad, really. So that's my thing. The worst thing that can happen is somebody actually DMing you expressing their feelings, but that doesn't happen too often, even though some people do get bold.
Get wild in there.
Yeah.
For sure. Anything else you can think of, Phony?
Yeah, well, we got to do it, and let's see if you guys can agree on something. So Doug Fresh, who Doug Smith is his name. He played with Coach Willie back in the day at Virginia. But he always asks our guests. He's normally on here, could be on tonight. Always ask who would your five, and because he's poor at counting, the five guys would be on UVA basketball's Mount Rushmore, and we'll see if you guys can agree on a five. But those are the only rules.
Whatever your rules are, UVA any rules basketball. You want. Mount Rushmore, UVA. We're looking at you, Chase. You're from Virginia. You know,
you know more than me.
Yeah, it's got most of it's got to come from you.
Taking Ralph at the five.
Okay.
Yes, I agree.
I need Malcolm Brogdon.
There you go.
I need Brian Stiff.
Boom. Oh man, veteran move right there.
Yeah,
man.
That's pro move.
I need Sean Singletary.
I like it.
And I'll probably say DeAndre Hunter.
I like it.
All
right.
So
yeah, I think all those guys except maybe Dre. I don't know that anyone's had Dre yet, but he's more recent, and so some
you know. Most people cheat and put Kyle, Dre, and Ty as one, which is whatever, but it's a head, so you can't even split a head like that, but whatever, we let it slide.
You could probably
that but Dre, that's I like that. All right, well, we appreciate you guys jumping on, man. We'll be cheering for you throughout the season. Hopefully you can have you jump on every once in a while.
Ooh, that's funny. Corey gonna be mad at me for that one. Now that I think about it. Yeah.
Off the bench, I mean, off the bench, Corey,
that's my nomination right there.
Six Corey. Man,
you got to miss your sixth man. Yeah, he'll take that well, I'm sure.
I hope so.
I like it. So one more time, thank you, sponsors. Connor Murray, Real Estate. He's at Sotheby's. And the other is True Blue Pools, the pool doctor in Lexington, Kentucky. All of that information will be below. Thank you so much, Chase, Reese. Y'all have a good off-season summer. We'll be catching up with you soon.
Sure. Thank you,
Bob. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Go Hoos.